In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Well, well, well. It's that most wonderful time of the year when we're called to be in fear and dread of the most terrible coming of the day of the Lord, right? It is Advent. We can tell because we've pulled out the Advent candle wreath. I'm dressed like a blueberry. And there's less than 30 shopping days until Christmas. It's Advent. In a world that has been driven by so much about Christmas, especially in the commercial world. I mean, Walmart has been playing Christmas carols for more than a month now, okay? If I hear Mariah Carey one more time, I will puke. Yet the church says, not yet. Not yet. We live in this time, in this place where we're always moving so quickly, so fast towards something that we ignore the journey, that we ignore the anticipation. We, as a matter of fact, cannot stand anticipation. I think as a society, we've broken down this idea that we can wait. Advent is an intentional time for us to push pause, for us to say, in the midst of a world that is maddening, in one that is materialistic, in one that we just can't wait to get to the next thing, we're going to wait, and we're going to watch, we're going to anticipate, we're going to hopefully expect. Now, I did a little bit of research about hoping and expectation in the Bible. And depending on who you believe, there's roughly 1,800 verses in the Old Testament that point to Christ's coming. This idea that there will be salvation, that someone is coming, that there is a new day dawning. 1,800 verses, I'm told. Now, I didn't go through and count them all this week. But 1,800 verses, supposedly in the Old Testament, that are looking forward in expectation to the person that we know of as Christ. Now, in the New Testament, there are somewhere in the ballpark of 300 verses that relate to the second coming. This idea that, yes, we waited for so long and this happened. This amazing incarnation into creation. God's presence finally with us in this new and amazing way. And yes, this will happen again. This will come anew. There will be a new day, a new dawning, a new era of reality whenever we're able to live more fully into the presence and love and power of God. And it's going to be great when it gets here, but we're not there yet. We're just not there yet. We can look around at the world that we live in, and we can tell that we're not there in that time of perfection yet. But we hope, don't we? We look for that new day. We look for that advent of Christ's return, that powerful presence of God in our lives in a new and unique way. We call it sometimes judgment. We call it judgment, I think, because for many of us, we're afraid of what's going to actually be revealed about us. In a world that is perfect, what if everyone knew everything about us? In some ways, it's a terrifying thought. What if every secret you had was laid bare before everyone else? What if you had to actually look at your Savior who knows the rights and the wrongs that you have committed? What if you have to look at him and he look at you and he knows those secrets about you? It is terrifying in many, many ways. But yet, as Christians, we are called to not be afraid. We are called to look at that coming time whenever all will be made right in this broken world and look upon it with joy, with hope, and with expectation because of Christ. Christ himself says, raise up your heads when you see it coming. we can stand before God in judgment, not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done. We cannot earn our salvation at that time on Christ's second coming, but we can rely on his atoning power. I'm often struck, I don't know if you've ever been to, I've never seen somebody with this billboard down here in town, but if you've ever been to larger cities or if you've ever watched certain movies or the like, you've seen the people carrying around these banners, you know, the end is near. Have you seen those, you know, either in person or on television, we've seen that, you know, these people going around proclaiming the end is near. Advent, my brothers and sisters, is different. We, in fact, can march around with banners this Advent saying, the beginning is near. A new start, a new reality, a new relationship between ourselves and God, and by extension, between ourselves and everyone else. Not just in this room or in the in sitting in churches all across this world, but for everyone. A new reality and opportunity, a new beginning. God is doing something unique in the world. God always has been. Are we attuned? Are we waiting? Are we expecting that new reality to actually take place? As we come upon this Christmas time and we're all looking forward to seeing the cute little 6-pound, 7-ounce baby Jesus, I want us to take the time to really imagine what it's like when we will see Christ coming again. Not in a humble manger, as we were told, but coming in the clouds with great glory. What will it look like whenever we truly know that new beginning is coming? Will it happen in our earthly lifetime here? Will it happen at some point in the future? I don't know. Many people have tried to say that they knew when this was going to happen, and it's always fallen through. Either that or none of us made it. I don't know. My brothers and sisters, this Advent, in this time of waiting to open presents, let's spend some intentional time at looking at ourselves, our lives, our priorities. Let's take the time to pause, to reflect on what God has promised us, to reflect on what God has given us, and hopefully that will restore that expectation in our lives, not just of Christ's return, but his very presence in our own lives right now. We're going to be going through these 4 Sundays of Advent. And we're going to be talking about expectation and waiting. Many of us want to start singing Christmas carols. We're almost there. But not yet. We're almost there. But not yet. My brothers and sisters, the beginning is near. And for that, we give thanks to God. Amen.